Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The man charged with the murder of United Healthcare CEO in New York could soon be returning to New York sooner to face charges. Luigi Mangione is in jail in Pennsylvania, where he was taken into custody this week, pending an extradition hearing. ABC's Aaron Katursky says he may not fight it much longer.
We heard from Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg today that he's getting some indications that Luigi Mangione may, in fact, waive extradition as soon as Tuesday of next week. So this could all be happening quite quickly.
New Jersey Fire Service, in a new bulletin obtained by ABC News, says, quote, downed or landed drones should not be approached. Federal authorities say most of those reported drone sightings in the Northeast are actually manned aircraft, which are legally operating, and say foreign countries are not involved. That's caused some frustration, and lawmakers are demanding more answers. Winter storms, including heavy snow and ice, on the move from the Midwest to the Northeast. Residents in the Great Lakes region getting more snow and digging out. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced $1 million in grant funding to provide water quality and fish consumption education. The funding was provided through the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and will be targeted towards parts of the state with higher rates of food insecurity and water contamination. With the funding, local partners will conduct outreach and education programs to share information on water testing in rural communities where fishing serves as a more consistent source of food access. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Natural Resources have announced $444 million in funding for clean water programs across the state. According to a press release, the funding through the Clean Water Fund program was distributed to 50 municipalities, including some in western Wisconsin like Barron and Augusta. The funding is meant to help local municipalities upgrade their wastewater infrastructure, like projects to reduce phosphorus discharges, in smaller, disadvantaged communities. A Chicago man arrested in Ashland County and accused of possessing over 100 grams of fentanyl earlier this year is heading to trial. 56-year-old Charles Mathis was charged with two counts of possession with intent to deliver dangerous drugs in May. Ashland County Sheriff's Office officials allegedly found him walking down Highway 2 and approached him, allegedly finding a gym sock containing a vacuum-sealed bag with a white powder that later tested positive for fentanyl. A jury trial in the case is scheduled to begin in April. Environmental groups and the Bad River Tribe have filed a petition for a contested case hearing as they push back against the Line 5 relocation project. Enbridge Energy has planned to move the oil and gas pipeline to go around the Bad River Band reservation rather than through it, but environmental groups say the 41-mile reroute could still impact nearly 200 waterways and 100 acres of wetlands. The petition challenges the project's waterway and wetlands permit, water quality certification, and environmental impact statement. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
It's tournament time for the Badgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Women's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers in the Sweet 16 taking on Texas A&M tonight in Lincoln, Nebraska. This is the 12th year in a row the Badgers women's team has reached the regionals. Wisconsin head coach Kelly Sheffield.
We don't take this time for granted at all. I think any time that you're amongst one of the top 16 teams and playing in the second weekend is very special. It's hard to do. We're happy to be here and we're excited to play. We're excited to get after and get this weekend started.
Marquette plays number 2-ranked Penn State in Pennsylvania. NBA, the Bucks and the Hawks tomorrow in Vegas. The NBA Cup semifinals, game time 3:30. NFL, Packers and Seahawks Sunday night in Seattle. Bo Melton was with the Seahawks and talked about the screaming fans at Lumen Field.
It'd be shaking. It'd be rocking in there for sure. Definitely a loud crowd. They love the Seahawks. Great atmosphere for sure to play in.
That's Packers wide receiver Bo Melton with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It's only up from here. With sunny skies today and temperatures rising all throughout the afternoon, even into the evening, and through tomorrow. They'll wind up flirting with the freezing mark tomorrow afternoon as a major system moves in, bringing a wintry mix of snow, sleet, and freezing rain. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 13 degrees at our studios.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, Nikki Zirjev and I talk about our favorite comedies. Brittany Merlot gives us an overview of the weather this winter. And Terry Barr brings the tunes on a bar band Friday night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Last night. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. Welcome if you're just joining us. Happy Friday, TGIF. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, and we're going to have a great show for you on Monday. Did you know that a very close advisor of Donald Trump is being investigated by the Trump team for basically selling access to Donald Trump as well as appointments to his cabinet and his new administration? Did you know that? I'm going to talk about that. Did you know that there was a Chinese billionaire who has basically made sure that Donald Trump's most recent grift, which is a new cryptocurrency, that puts money in Donald Trump's pocket? Did you know that? I'm going to talk about that on Monday. But also on Monday, what's really excited is that Civic Media's grown-up gift list text-to-win contest starts 4 times a day. We are going to give away prizes. All you got to do is go get the Civic Media app. Be ready to text starting Monday. In those hours, we're going to give you the word of the hour. You're going to text in, and each hour we'll give away either $100 in cash or an overnight getaway to the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells, which is good fun in these wintertimey months when it's not so nice outside. Then we're going to give away 8 grand prize winners from all of the entrants at the end of the contest. So just texting will get you registered to win one of those 8 grand prizes. It's basically a grab bag of gifts for adults, you know, grown-ups, things like robot vacuums and humidifiers and luggage and all those good things. So be sure you get the app and you're ready to go come Monday. I want to give my very next caller a shot at what we were talking about last hour, because Mark from Prairie du Sac, you are always so very patient. We've been talking about the United Healthcare CEO being murdered in New York. Mark, what did you want to say on this topic?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, who knows if that's going to be not an uncommon situation if people do what they've responded to in other cases where, you know, neo-fascist governments kind of take place, that you know, how easy it would be to slip a little, you know, blowfish, you know, poison into somebody's meal when they're serving at a restaurant. And you know, some of these things that we've seen happen historically when governments like we are going to see take over, and that they are just grifting us. They promised all these people, oh, Donald Trump will protect Social Security, and he'll protect us from all this, and he's just selling out all these people he just promised to protect. And what the reaction is going to be is it's kind of terrifying. I mean, I hate, you know, I've read maybe too much history or too little history to know that people do not respond well when this kind of thing happens, because in all these right-wing governments in Europe, they actually have you know, the social safety net programs in place, especially healthcare.
Well, I think, you know, yes, like we spend the most basically anywhere, get the worst results. And I think as people lose continuing respect for institutions, whether you come from the right or the left, lose respect for the rule of law, lose respect for the systems and processes that are supposed to make things better for the middle class, for working people, people will start to take matters into their own hands. That is extremely dangerous. Michaela from West Bend texting in on our call and text line 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. She says this, I have a coworker with a don't blame me, I voted for Trump bumper sticker. Boy, that one's going to age like warm milk. Indeed, indeed. Now, I may still get to this today, but I'm going to try to move on to more positive matters. But I may still get to sort of the meltdown that's going on at MSNBC, specifically on Morning Joe. It's weird these days, but I did want to try to have a more positive, relaxed second half of the Maggie Dawn Show here on Friday afternoon. So I wanted to kick out a couple of questions to you all, because as I've been getting ready for the holidays, I have been reminded of some of my epic holiday fails, just disasters that have occurred around parties or entertaining or hosting in the holiday season, as well as spectacular gift fails. You know, when you think you've gotten somebody the perfect thing and they open it up and it's very clear it is not the perfect thing. Or if you have been a recipient of an epic gift fail, that's happened to me a couple of times. I always appreciate the gift. But given that somebody spent their hard-earned money on it, you know, better that the gift gets used. What do you think? If you get a gift you don't like, what do you just keep it? Is that the, or do you try to exchange it? Do you tell the person? I'm curious. What is your approach to these things? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do you have any hilarious holiday fails that you have survived? We want to hear about it. It's Friday. Let's have a little chit-chat. And, of course, all of this comes to mind, not least of which, because it is jolly old St. Nicholas Day, St. Nick's Day, celebrating the Feast of St. Nick, the historical figure that is really what is associated with all of our gift giving here. Were you one of the kids that left your shoes out and then you'd get like treats in them? Because like my folks, I think this isn't like on the calendar, so they'd miss it all the time. I'd get to school and all my friends would have all kinds of treats and fun things that they got, and their lunchbox would be filled with little things. Nope. We never remembered in my house when it was St. Nick's Day. So I don't think I ever got much swag on St. Nick's Day. Also on December 6th, this is an interesting fact. This is when when Georgia became the 27th state to ratify the 13th Amendment. That was on December 6th. Of course, the 13th Amendment bringing slavery to an end. Yeah, you know, legally saying we can't own human beings. That's bad. So a couple of questions for you. What are your epic holiday fails? What do you do when you get the gift that you don't want? When you're like, this is, I'm never going to, do you keep it? Do you say anything? Do you return it? Do you ask for a receipt? Do you act like you like it? What do you do? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And there is lots of fun holiday stuff that is going on all around southeastern Wisconsin, and I'm sure in your neck of the woods as well. Here are a few of the holiday markets that are kicking off or have just kicked off in and around southeastern Wisconsin. The Wauwatosa Holiday Market from December 4th to the 22nd, so that just started on Wednesday. That'll go all the way up until December 22nd. The Christmas market in West Allis, that starts today. That is just a two-day one. So today and tomorrow in Stallus, got to get to the Christmas markets. The South Milwaukee Christmas market, that's coming up on December 14th. And the Milwaukee market will be on December 15th. So that, again, keep all of that on your docket. Matt from Middleton saying, use the bad gift as an angle to try to get some free drinks from whoever gave you the bad gift. I'm down for that. Little angle, little guilt tripping. Dennis from West Allen, he's saying, I've gotten some pretty crappy gifts in my 59 years and my facial expressions always show it. Dennis from West Allis, I feel you. I am not a poker player for a reason. If you watch me on the U of the Tube or on Facebook or on the platform formerly known as Twitter, you will see, yeah, I do not have a, I can't hide anything. Everything that I'm thinking in my head, it shows on my face. In fact, there are some pretty funny pictures of me when I am given the, like, what are you talking about face to someone at the county? You know, because there'd be press around every once in a while, and I used to work at the county, and I'd be in these hearings, and people would catch me with the crazy, like, side-eye face. That happened more than once. So I have to tell you one of my funny stories about a terrible, no good, very bad gift. And I can tell this story because I love my mother so very, very much. She will not be bothered by the fact that I'm about to relay this story. This just happened a couple of years ago, y'all. So I am 47 years old, grown woman. This was probably back maybe 2 or 3 years ago. So I was well into my 40s. Suffice it to say that I have a particular, like, clothing style, I would say. And it's on the far, far end from cutesy. Like, I don't do cutesy. It's not a thing for me. It's hard to get away with cute when you're 6 feet tall without a shoe on, right? Like, that's not my play. And God bless my mother. I love her so very, very much. But my mom wrapped up and was so excited for me to open a wool sweater that if you lived during the 80s, remember the sweaters that had, like, the little reindeer in a line in, like, a band of green or red, and then, like, little hearts in the next band of green or red. Sweater was white. Yeah, she bought me one of those. My goodness. Little Christmas trees, reindeers, and hearts with, get this, a matching hat and scarf. My Lord, I looked at my mom and I said, Mom, I love you and thank you so much for thinking of me and getting this beautiful gift for me. I will never, ever, ever wear this. It's kind of like the sweaters, Cardi, that, like, your first grade teachers would sport. And I love that elementary school teachers wear that stuff because the kids love them. But that's what I was like, Mom, I've got a couple of friends that are teachers. Is it okay if I give it to one of them? They will wear the heck out of this and their students will love it. My mom looked a little miffed, I have to say, at my rejection of what can only be described as a blast from the 80s past, something that I would never in a bazillion years ever wear. I hope that didn't make me ungrateful. You know, I just wanted to be honest. And she was cool with it. She's like, thank you for telling me I won't do that. But, you know, moms and daughters, y'all, from the WMDX texting on the 608 line, I always feel terribly guilty when I don't like a gift. I hear you, friend. I act like I like it, and we put it in a regift bin when we get home, making sure to regift it at a later date. Of course, you got to be sure you don't re-gift it to the person who gifted to you. You know, there's all sorts of protocols. I have to admit, I do have a re-gift bin. And a number of my friends who are teachers, they have re-gift bins because y'all would not believe some of the weird stuff that teachers are given by well-meaning kids and parents in their classes. Woo! Like, one year, one of my friends got, like, a neon cactus. You know what I'm talking about? Those, like, little neon cactus. What? Lost it. Silly. What are you going to do with that? Michaela from West Bend, she says this. During what ended up being my last Christmas with my grandma, grandma had a little bit too much to drink and ended up setting the marshmallows on top of the sweet potatoes on fire and then blamed it on my sister, who was not involved in any way. Oh, we all got together to take the standard grandma and grandkids photo with grandma sitting in the middle. And instead of saying to say cheese, she threw her hands in the air and loudly directed us to say, Grandma's drunk, Michaela, I love.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently on the impact of Shelby County versus Holder, the U.S. Supreme Court's decision invalidating Section 5 of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Anticipating even more erosion of the VRA, some states have passed their own state VRAs.
It's not only the dismantling of Section 5, the preclearance requirements for states with a history of discrimination. The conservative justices also made proving racial gerrymandering harder under Section 2, and they've made it easier for a state legislature to dilute minority voting power. And in the lower courts, more cases attempting to keep individual voters from bringing voting rights lawsuits under the VRA are pending. With dwindling protections from the federal government, California, Washington, Oregon, Virginia, New York, Connecticut, and Minnesota have enacted state VRAs. Michigan, Maryland, New Jersey, and Florida have efforts underway. The NAACP Legal Defense Fund recommends that state VRAs should have preclearance requirements for municipalities which have patterns of discrimination. Rules should include a prohibition against vote denial or dilution through gerrymandering, strong protections against intimidation or deception, language assistance, a statewide database to make evidence-based decisions on election administration, and a directive to the state judiciary to support pro-voter and pro-democracy decisions. We have the recommendations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Badgers.
Seats Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk, Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody, welcome. If you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Our grown-up gift list text to win contest starts next week. Gotta have the Civic Media app to register to possibly be a winner. You're going to be texting words of the hours during particular time slots. That all kicks off on Monday on an hourly basis, basically, for four different hours of the day. You can either win $100 or an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Then we got some grand prizes that we give away at the end. It's basically a gift grab bag. By the way, my family does a gifting grab bag, but we do it in a super cutthroat way. I mean, super cutthroat. So we all bring a gift, got to be under $20, wrap it up, and then you take numbers, right? And if you're number one, that's not good. You want to be the highest number. You want to be the last person to choose, because the trick is, in sequential order, according to the numbers that you pull out, you get to select a gift. You can either pick a gift that's still sort of in the middle in the pile that's wrapped up. You don't know what's in it. Or you can steal a gift from anybody that's already opened a gift. Yes, this gets very, very cutthroat, because every year there's always like someone that overspends the limit and gets something really sick in the grab bag. And everybody basically, it's just a vehicle for a lot of smack talking, a lot of family love, a lot of teasing that can happen when we do our little gift grab bag, white elephant business. Love doing that. Good, good fun. Again, my thanks to Michaela from West Bend that has one of the funniest holiday fail stories. And so hats off to Michaela's grandma, who had a little bit too much to drink, and then commanded that everybody say, "Grandma's drunk," when they were taking their Christmas family photo. I love that story. If you're looking for something fun to do over the holidays with your family, the Green Bay Press Gazette wrote up a little piece about the House on the Rock, which is a really weird thing in Wisconsin. It may not be quite as famous as Wisconsin Dells. May not be where everybody goes like Door County, but it is both really strange and kind of fascinating. Makes for a great weekend trip. It is in Spring Green, Wisconsin, which is about an hour's drive west of Madison. It's an architectural attraction, sort of, but it's this sort of trippy house that was imagined by Madison-born guy by the name of Alexander John Jordan. He began putting this together in the 1940s when he built a getaway home by hand on top of Deer Shelter Rock, which is this like massive chunk of stone that comes up about 60 feet over the surrounding landscape. And he started to let people into the house and charge a fee. And by about 1960, it had become its own business. And he made money off of letting people tour his weird, trippy house. And there's model ship displays. There's a huge carousel in the house. There's a Japanese-style garden. There's a massive collection of like mechanical music machines. There's a infinity room that just comes out over the cliff. It's weird. I think it's good fun. Cardi, have you ever been to the house on the rock? I mean, it is strange.
This is my first time actually hearing about that.
Shut up.
I'm dead serious. I've never heard
Cardi,
of that.
Cardi, we gotta
today.
Take a road trip, friend, and check out the house on the rock.
Let's do it.
It is super weird.
Let's do it.
And if marijuana was legal here in the state of Wisconsin and you were into that kind of thing, it would be indeed literally trippy at the house on the rock. Check it out. If you haven't gone, we should make a little plan if we get some time off over the holidays, Cardi, and just hang out. We can listen to some tunes in the car,
for sure.
Get to know each other, check it out. It's weird, y'all. I like weird. I'm down for weird.
I'm down for adventure.
Yeah, just don't be boring. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Don't be boring. The other super cool thing that I wanted to share with you, which I am personally such a huge fan of and enjoy every year, is the Santa Cycle Rampage that happens in Milltown, happens in Milwaukee every holiday season. And that is happening tomorrow, Saturday, December 7th. Basically, you will have upwards of 1,500, nearly 2,000 people riding around on their bikes in a Santa Claus outfit. It is hilarious. I go every year to check out the scene, to take pictures of the Santa. Sometimes you see a couple of elves thrown in there. It is super fun. You can check out more on the Wisconsin Bike Feds website. It kicks off at the Wisconsin Bike Fed office. That's 187 East Beecher Street. Starts at 9 a.m. You know, everybody, because it's Milwaukee. And you got adults dressing up in silly costumes riding around on bikes in the cold. There might be adult beverages that get consumed. There might be. It's the morning. I realize that. But it's a Saturday. So be safe out there. If you're driving around Milwaukee tomorrow morning, especially around the East Side, Bayview, downtown-ish area, look out for the bicycling Santas who might have had an adult beverage or two before they get on said bicycles. It is $27 for one adult, a pair of adults for $47. You can get a family package for two adults, two kids for $60. Kids tickets are $5. They will allow same day registration, so you can go check that out. You can also sign up at the Cafe Hollander on Downer Avenue. And there is a Milwaukee Elf Cycle Frenzy, which is another 3-mile ride that is specifically just for families and kids and is led by safety instructors that will be looping around Bayview, ending up at the Grand Central Cafe and Tappery. And that will begin immediately after the maybe slightly had a couple of adult beverages Santa ride. Have you ever seen the Santas riding around town, Cardi?
I've seen a lot of them, actually. I used to go to the, when they used to have, was that Northridge Mall?
Yep.
They used to have them inside Northridge Mall. I used to go sit on Santa's lap and tell him my Christmas list was always the same thing.
I have been to Northridge Mall doing that. That's aging us, Cardi, because that's back when, like, folk used to actually go to Northridge Mall when it was not just sort of like an attractive nuisance over up on the northwest side of Milwaukee. But folks, do go check out the cycling Santas. We're going to come right back. Terry Bell will be joining us for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked, y'all. The good news keeps coming next.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK,
Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thank you for listening to Maggie and the Millionaires on this Civic Media station. The Patriotic Millionaires are financial supporters through paid advertising on some Civic Media stations.
As we continue moving through the holidays with Christmas and New Year's coming up, the dairy market has seen a bit of a rally. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Ryan Yonkman with EverAg is here to explain what we'd like to see as we move into the end of the year, so that way next year starts off positive.
Super Bowl orders, that's the last thing in front of us. You've probably got a week or two, a couple weeks of that left. And then you get into the doldrums and demand season, production starts to pick up. One of the cheese plants we've been talking about fired up a few weeks ago. We've got two more that are going to fire up in January, February. So we feel like the risk is still very much on as the first half. We'd like to see dairies use this rally to remove that going into the first half.
Yonkman's advice to dairy producers is to get as much out of this rally as you can before the new year. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those closing markets right after this.
Did you know you can build a water and nutrient superhighway in your soil? You just need the Maximum Acre solution from Sound Agriculture. The easiest way to maximize your crop's access to nutrients all season long. How does it work? First, Source turns your soil into a nutrient factory, activating microbes that supply nitrogen, phosphorus, and micronutrients. Then Blueprint builds the delivery network. It provides a beneficial fungi called AMF, a powerful biological partner that plants rely on for macronutrients, micronutrients, and water. When used with Source, Blueprint expands the crop's reach beyond the roots, helping it access nutrients and water when they're needed most. For the maximum acre solution that leads to bigger, healthier, and more productive plants, source it with Blueprint. Talk to your dealer or visit sound.ag.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at those closing markets on this Friday. The grain markets continue to see a downward trend, with cash crop corn down 1.5 at 442, and new crop corn closing down 2.75 at 439. January soybeans closed down 7.5 at 988.25, and November soybeans closed down 7.75 at 1006.25. March wheat finished up down 6.25 at 552.25, and July wheat also finished down 6.25 at 568.75. As Ryan Yonkman was saying, sell your dairy while you can, as Chicago's showing losses, with Class 3 milk contracts for January down 27 cents at 1998, and February contracts down 34 cents at 1980. Barrels of cheese closed down 0.25 at 172.75, and 40-pound blocks closed up 1.25 at 180. Butter finished the day down 6 at 246.5. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory later tonight and tomorrow for a wintry mix of sleet, snow, and pockets of freezing rain. Temps steady to slowly rising in the teens and 20s tonight to a high in the low 30s tomorrow. Slick roads with minor accumulations. Sunday, cloudy, high mid-30s. Right now it's 13.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners, making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we continue our live coverage from the Seattle area, focusing on the Naval Air Station in Bremerton. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Friday, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back if you're staying with us through our two-hour block here. As we do every Friday at 3:30, it is time for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin with my good friend Terry Barr. Welcome back to the show, Terry. Hope you've been staying warm. We've had a deep chill here for the last couple of days.
I can now. I knew that was going to happen. I am so sorry, you guys. Okay. I'm listening to Maggie.
Okay, let's go with, hey, welcome back, Terry Barr. Tell us what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin.
Oh, this is so awesome. You know, we're getting close to Christmas. Of course, it got a little bit of cold out there throughout this week. And so I was thinking, what is something that we all reach for when it's winter and it's cold? And you know what I came up with, Maggie? It's that silly lip stuff that we're all stuck on. What do you think about that?
Oh, well, I love it. I'm a huge fan of the Chap of the Stick and the Car of the Mex, which, if I'm not mistaken, Terry, is Carmex not a Wisconsin product?
You got it. And that's exactly where I was headed with this. It's a so, I don't know, I get really excited when I find out that something I'm using on a regular basis is made just down the road. Carmex, you know, the one in the little yellow tube, it's made in Franklin, which is a suburb of Milwaukee. And over time, it's now shipped to 60 countries every single year. This guy, Alfred Woolwing, created it when he was in his kitchen in Dodge County. He thought, I need something that can soothe my chapped hands. Ah. So that's what it's, that's what it started with. And then he came up with Carmex, hand poured it into those little porcelain jars. Do you remember those?
I might still have a couple bouncing around in a backpack somewhere, you know?
He hand poured those from the late 1930s until the 1970s, when he finally decided, you know, I don't want to move anywhere. I'm going to stay here, but I know I can put a manufacturing plant together, hire a bunch of people, and make this happen. So, you can use it on your lips, obviously, is what we are used to. But he originally made it in his kitchen for his poor dry hands.
That's pretty incredible. And funny that you mention that, because yeah. I have actually used Carmex out of the jar and out of the tube on cracked knuckles when I've been skiing or outside, and all I had with me was the Carmex, right?
Look,
like, didn't
that.
Have, because you just get so dry, and because it's got, you know, those petroleum jelly type substances in
yes.
it. I was like, well, this will at least keep my hands from cracking more, even though they were in gloves. Now, I have been, just funny story, Terry, of course. I have been downhill skiing, but I am not a downhill skier, if that makes any sense to you.
And are you a fire girl? Do you sit by the fire?
Oh, I'm a D, all of the above. So hit me with the hot toddy and the après ski and the lodge and the fire and all that good stuff. But my family, we were big cross-country skiers.
Yes.
And so when you are cross-country skiing, and, you know, Milwaukee County, and we go up north as well. Never did the Birkebeiner, because, wow, that's for the super dupers.
right.
But when we would go cross country skiing, the reason I ran into sometimes the cracked hands problem is you would get so damn hot cross country skiing. It's like hiking in the winter, right? You'd be peeling off layers when you are cross country skiing, because it's such a workout, especially if you've got any hills. And my hands would get really warm. So I would often take my gloves off, and hence my double duty Carmex. Thank you, Mr. Carmex, for inventing a hand rub that became a lip. What do you call that? A lip gloss? It's not a gloss. It's not a chapstick. That's like a Xerox for a copy. A lip
right.
balm. It's a lip balm.
Yes.
That's the generic
term.
There
you go. And I don't know what made me think of this, but I guess it has been the cold weather that came through this week, and it made me they think of, well, what is it about Wisconsin? There had to be some cold weather goods made here. And this is one of the first ones I came up with. And I thought, well, this will be fun to talk with you about.
Well, and I love the fact that I actually knew that Carmex was from Wisconsin.
Yes.
In fact, I was doing some Secret Santas with a small group of friends of mine. We have to keep them under $5. Somebody just gave me a 5-pack of Carmex tube minis and all of the different flavors. I was ecstatic.
I was going to say, you can't beat that. That is a great gift.
No, it was perfect. Well, thanks so much for the trip down memory lane and a shout out to Wisconsin's very own Carmex. What else do you have for us this afternoon, Terry?
All right. Now we're going to want to do some cross-country skiing, or snowshoeing is my favorite, because I'm going to take you up to Bloomer, which is near Chippewa Falls. There is a little spot up there called the Main Street Cafe. You know, the Main Street Cafe, you think about it, the name, and it really could be anywhere. But this particular Main Street Cafe is in Bloomer. This town is less than 3,000 people. But here's the magic that is happening there at this time of year. Donnie Stoic is the longtime owner. And at this time of year, Thanksgiving, the winter holidays, Hanukkah, Christmas, all of those, and then into the new year, he makes 150,000 pies.
They oh, my good Lord. 150,000?
Yes, 1,000 at this time of year. He has 65 varieties that you can order or, you know, go into the cafe and sit down and eat. Every single one is made by hand. So he's got a lot of little elves that are helping him at this time of year. Here's the other thing Donnie told me. He always uses real dairy products in every single pie. If you order a piece of pie at the cafe in Bloomer, you get free ice cream on it and as much milk as you can drink. So he's a supporter of agriculture as well. And I just think this is amazing. This is a tiny little place on Main Street in Bloomer.
Oh, I absolutely love this. First of all, I will still crack open a fine glass of Wisconsin's own milk with dinner.
Oh, yes.
Right? Like with always. Dinner, fully sit down and be like, I feel like milk with dinner tonight. The first time I was ever out of my home environs, I realized, oh, we do things a little different here in Wisconsin because we drink the milk with the food. People that I was with, what are you doing? You know, they're drinking soda and water. The only thing we were served with meals was milk. To these, mm-hmm. And by the way, are you a milk or a milk? Because I say it milk, like M-E-L-K. That's my Wisconsinese coming through. My Charlie Baron-ism, if you will. I pronounce milk as if it was spelled with an E.
Yes. Nope. I think I'm still the I person, milk.
Well, that's,
there's a little tinge there. Yeah.
That's much more grammatically and syntactically accurate, Terry. Yeah. I have always enjoyed milk with dinner, but also I can't have a homemade cookie these days without a glass of milk. Now, when you were
And it takes you back to your childhood. And, you know, as Donnie Stoic says, you got to support the farmers. And that is so terrific. Do you know what kind of pie is the most popular in Wisconsin? And at least he said this is what he finds at this time every year.
In Wisconsin at this time of year, so in the holiday time, I'm going to go with an apple pie.
He said that's what most people would think. And he'll even offer to put a piece of cheese on your apple pie.
Ooh.
But he said it's cherry, which I was really surprised about.
Well, the Door County cherries, I am a cherry aficionado. In fact, I was so excited about my 5-pack of mini Carmexes because they had not one, but two of the 5 flavors were cherry-based flavors. My favorite pie is a cherry pie. And if I'm getting an old-fashioned, Like, it better have a cherry in it. I like the old-fashioned sweets. I'm a brandy old-fashioned sweet gal myself. I mean, milk with dinner and brandy old-fashioned sweets. I don't know how much more Wisconsin we can get. Slap a little Carmex on before your milk with dinner there and your brandy old-fashioned sweet. And you've got the Wisco trifecta. Oh, I love this.
It's always a fun way to end the week, isn't it?
Absolutely. What are you up to this weekend, Terry? You got any plans?
Oh, we are beginning our holidays for real this weekend, starting with the in-laws. So we will be in Illinois for an in-law holiday this weekend. We play Christmas bingo and exchange gifts. And my husband's mother always makes way too much food. She's originally a Wisconsinite, so she goes all out for the holiday.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, so they may be Flatlanders now, but they're originally Wisconsinites, so it's just fine. I myself will also be hanging out with some extended family this weekend. And the cool part is we've been doing this for many, many years, getting together. Ooh. And my cousin hosts, and it's now, you know, we got the plus ones and we got the kids of the cousins, and there's always lots of people. Some of her neighbors will stop by. It's a great, good old time. I've gotten to know her neighbors and some of her buddies over the years, her kids plus ones. It's so much fun. Everybody comes, and each year for around the last decade, we have picked like a different food theme because, you know, doing the same thing every year gets to be a little old. Now, of course, we still have to have, you know, the shrimp cocktail, the chipped beef dip, you know, the meat and cheese and crackers plate. Like, you don't mess with the classic appetizer plates, a little stuffed mushrooms, little Parmesan puffs. But this year, I'm really excited because our theme is steakhouse.
Oh, no. What is going to happen?
It's
going to
be a bunch of fun. She's doing a couple of huge tenderloins, which is just, right, so classic. I'm making the horseradish sauce. We're going to do a couple of lobster tails, which we're all just going to get a little piece of. I'm going to be responsible actually firing the lobster tails at the dinner. So I'm a little nervous, but I've done 2 tester lobster tails at home. So, like, I know exactly how hot to make these, you know, how hot to get the oven. And I've split a couple of lobster tails before, so I'm good to go with that.
But I love that you did a test run.
Oh, my gosh. Do not mess up the produce, right? Like, do not mess up the proteins.
Yeah, exactly. I almost want to say we're going to request some photos of this.
Okay. Terry, I will do my gosh darn best to remember to do that. But I make no promises because after 2 brandy old-fashioned sweet with cherries, I don't know, you know, might get a little carried away. Anyways, but the thing I'm most excited about and that I absolutely adore at a steakhouse is that my other responsibility, which is for a to go with, like the accompaniment, is I am making wedge salads.
No kidding.
And so I have to this afternoon go to the grocery store post show and buy like 4 heads of iceberg lettuce, 2 pounds of Newski's bacon, a bunch of red onions, and I'm going to get feta and blue cheese. Now, here's the question that all of this was just prequel to. I'm assuming you like a wedge salad because
I do. It's so traditional.
It is. Mm-hmm. Now, do you go with only blue cheese dressing or what I'm going to call the underground pro method, blue cheese dressing and French dressing?
You know what? I am a big fan of blue cheese dressing and then crumble a little bit of the extra on it.
Yes.
But if we're talking old school, it's got to be French.
Yes. So I will be bringing both a homemade blue with blue crumbles and a homemade French dressing because I like to double them up. Frankly, I may end up eating more wedge salad than anything else.
Yes.
Little cracked pepper. So good. And I also like when I'm serving offering a wedge salad, I'm not giving anybody a wedge anymore. Or if I give them the wedge, I ask them, hey, do you want me to take that back and deconstruct it for you? Because otherwise it's such a pain in the butt to eat off the plate.
It is. Oh, that's so fun.
Well, thanks so much, Terry. Have an absolutely beautiful time with your family this weekend. And I can't wait
to Maggie,
catch up with you next week.
Enjoy the salad and everything that comes with it.
Sounds good. Folks, that's Civic Media's very own Terry Barr. We're going to take care of a couple of important messages. Come right back with the last segment of the day. You're going to want to keep it locked. Dom Salvi is coming up next with the word of the hour.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday. It is the last segment of the day. And you're going to want to go absolutely nowhere, because in just a few minutes, my colleague Dom Salvia is going to get on the horn for the Dom Salvia Show, the fantastic program that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. And in the 4 o'clock hour, Dom is going to drop on you the keyword of the hour. Once you hear that keyword of the hour, you're going to want to text that word via the Civic Media app. Don't text in on our phone and text line. You got to text it in via the app. If you don't have the app, you go get it from your favorite app store. It is free, free, free. It's my favorite price, free. You're going to text that keyword via the app. That is going to register you to win a prize that we give away every hour that we drop a keyword. That's either $100 in cold hard cash, super helpful for the holidays, or if you've just had enough of the holidays and you need to get away from it all, you can also opt to get an overnight stay from the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. So we pick one winner for the 4 o'clock hour, and then at the end of Civic Media's Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest, we're going to give away eight grand prizes from our grown-up gift list. We've got espresso machines, robot vacuums, luggage, humidifiers, all of these things that every grown-up probably needs, wants, already maybe already has, and that's why there is a gift list from you for you to choose from. So do not miss out on that. As it is the last segment of the day, and earlier this week, we talked a little bit about the dating situations that we get into. You know, if we've had to break up with somebody because of political differences. And so, especially because apparently Terry Barr and I are going into family holiday gatherings this weekend, and I think a lot of people are getting into those gatherings. I thought I would give you some advice for how to navigate what can be somewhat tense political discussions with family. This will be my Good Friday afternoon news for all of you as we head off into our weekends. So there's no question, if you've got more than just a handful of people at one of your gatherings, someone there disagrees with your political take. I think one of the first things to do, and if there's a host or if you're hosting, you know, you could ask or say to your guests, we're going to leave, you know, sex, religion, and politics at the door and just put that on the shelf, and everybody can have a safe word. It's like pineapple if somebody starts talking about politics or something that makes somebody want to disengage. Here's another fun one for sort of enforcing the no sex, religion, and politics rule. So you got the safe word, pineapple. All right, we got to move on, new topic. And if somebody yells pineapple on somebody else, I would suggest having like a politics swear jar. You get where I'm going with this? Like, you start talking about the politics, if it's your fault that it's coming up and you broke the rules, you got to put a little buck into the politics swear jar. I think it could make it a little bit lighthearted, reduce some of the tension. But listen, sometimes even with pineapple and the rules and the politics swear jar, you might still find yourself in a political discussion. So here's from a very personal standpoint, I've had these arguments, these discussions, and I've not always done well at them. But I do know that there are some common characteristics when they have gone better than bad. And that is this. I usually always am saying to the person, hey, I love you and I know that we disagree. So let's see if we can start with some of the things that we do agree on. And usually that's some of our baseline values. And hey, we agree upon these baseline values, whether it's hard work, care and respect for others, preserving freedoms or whatever it is. And then I try my best, which I often fail at on this show, to let people just talk until they're done. I mean, one of the reasons I fail on this show is I've made a commitment that I won't allow deflections, discrimination, or disinformation. But I don't have that responsibility when it's a private conversation. Somebody can say what they want. So I let them talk themselves out. And the next thing I say is, when you say these things, this is how that makes me feel. I know this is old school stuff, but I think it bears mentioning, especially if I feel real activated by it. And if the person doesn't seem to be particularly receptive, especially if I feel hurt or saddened by what they've said, often I've tried to simply leave it there and say, I disagree, and you seem like it doesn't matter so much how your words are affecting me, and I think it's best we leave it there. But if we can genuinely care about the way that our words are impacting those that we love and care about, I then continue to try to lead with vulnerability and find the little pieces of common ground and actually call those out and say, hey, look, we found two or three things that we agree on. And the last thing I'll say to you is this. I think it's okay to take breaks. Hey, we're getting a little excited. Let's go refill our brandy old-fashioned sweet with a cherry or our Diet Coke or whatever your thing is. Let's take a break. And if all else fails and it's going badly, know what your boundary is and know when you need to walk away. Because screaming with family members or good friends, it ain't worth it at the holidays. So for me to you, I hope you all have a beautiful weekend. I hope it is safe and warm, and that if you are celebrating the holidays, that they are successful celebrations free of political strife. Because remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
And then we'll do it again. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll continue a conversation with author Laura Bird, full of recommendations for books that also make great holiday gifts.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Matt and Air on Air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Lawmakers and residents in the Northeast demanding answers about the drone sightings this past month in the Northeast. Federal authorities say there is no risk to the public. ABC's Louis Martinez has more from the Pentagon.
What they are saying is that when they have analyzed their information from previous weeks, is that the sightings seem to coincide with flight plans for civilian aircraft. Now, are we talking about general aviation, small aircraft? Are we talking about larger aircraft? That remains unclear.
New details in the fatal shooting of United Healthcare CEO. The FBI's New York field office confirmed it passed along a tip by San Francisco authorities identifying Luigi Mangione to the New York Police Department 4 days before his arrest in Pennsylvania. Mangione had been living in San Francisco. His mother reported him missing several weeks before the shooting. Snow, ice, and bitter cold in the mix for millions of Americans from the Midwest to the Northeast this weekend. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.